Can I have the first slide on, please? Fantastic. Can you see that? Yeah. Right, so today I'm going to talk about the Holy of Holies, and I'm going to talk about going through the veil. So hopefully you'll get something from this. So a bit ago, it was Mother's Day, I talked about Moses and how his mother, Jochebed, that she had such faith to put him in the river and leave him in God's hands because she knew there was something in his life and in his heart. And I was talking about us all having faith over our children to pray for them and know and trust God in it all. So Moses grew up and he became the leader of the Israelites, what was mentioned this morning, and he led them out of Egypt. So I'm just going to talk about how he was with the Lord. So if you go to Exodus chapter, I've got a few scriptures, so I'll just read, and if you want to just listen, or you can look it up. So Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 says, Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see my face and live." So then in Exodus 34, it says, when Moses, he'd gone up the mountain to talk with the Lord, and it says, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets, that's the commandments, of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commands that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. And then Moses would put the veil back over his face when he went to speak with the Lord. So Moses' face shone. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord and you've come out from the presence of the Lord and your face has shone? That's how we should be. We should be shining for Jesus. Once we go into his presence, we should shine and be there. So I'm going to talk about what Moses said to them to do now. So in Exodus 35, 10 to 11, Moses said, "All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything that the Lord has commanded for the tabernacle," which is, I'm going to talk about in a minute. In Exodus 35, 25, it says, "Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen." And in Exodus 36, 1 and 2, it says, "Every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and the ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary and to do the work just as the Lord had commanded." So Moses and his skilled workers began the work in the sanctuary to put the laws that God had gave Moses there. So this is what they built, and that curtain there, it's behind that is the Holy of Holies, and I'll explain about that in a minute. So think about that. In them days, they built amazing things like this, and they had skills that God gave them. Do you know, in the church or in your work, when you go to work, God can give you the skills. He can give you the skills to do something in church. He can give you the skills to do something in your work. And he can also give you favor. God can give you favor in the things that you do as you pray to him, as you ask him to give you favor. So seek him, ask him, come before God. He wants to bless you with skills. So they built the holy place and the holy of holies place with a veil. So this is the veil that you can see there. And we've actually got one here today. We've got a veil here today. So there was a veil that was built, a curtain between them and between God. And there was only the high priest that could go to God once a year. So I just want to talk a bit about praying now and about us asking God and talking to God. How long do you pray for each day? Don't answer me that. Ask yourself. Just ask yourself. We need to abide in God or we can do nothing. There was a great preacher called John Wesley, and he said, God does nothing until people pray. That was what he said. When something is on at church, we need to saturate it in prayer and God will really move. Jesus prayed daily. Every part of Jesus' life was about prayer. He prayed when starting his work. He prayed at the end. He prayed in the garden and he prayed on the cross. So if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? The disciples said to him, teach us to pray. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, during those days, he went out to the mountains to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he summoned his disciples, and he chose 12 of them, and he named them apostles. So Jesus prayed early in the morning, as well as all night. He prayed before and after great events in his life. And when life was unusually busy, Jesus prayed. Let's be like Jesus and pray. Have you ever been to an all-night prayer meeting? I went to one once, and I won't tell you how long I stayed. I think it was about 1:30, and I couldn't cope. So, but obviously Jesus prayed all night, so he probably wants us to do things like that. And then we have John chapter 17, which is a fantastic chapter, and I recommend that you read it. It's long, so I won't read it this morning, but I've just picked out 3 points. And the first one is verse 1. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may himself glorify you. So Jesus prayed for himself. And if we go to verse 9, I pray for them. He's talking about the disciples now. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So he prayed for his disciples. And verse 20, my prayer is not just for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me because of them. And that is us. So Jesus, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for us. So there's a verse in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 4:9. And if you go, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it just gives list after name after name after name, and you think, what on earth is going on here? And then you come to this guy called Jabez. Oh, great, you're ahead of me. So this guy called Jabez prays this prayer. And this prayer has been mentioned, Pastor mentioned it last Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, I believe it was mentioned Sunday night too. So I really believe that this prayer is important today and at this time. So I want us all to say this together, okay? So let's say it together, please. And it's asking God to bless you. So together, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Hallelujah. Right, so, and I believe word has it, the pastor's going to be preaching on it soon because it's such an amazing prayer. And that every day, I've been praying this every day, for Jesus to bless me. Some people might think, you can't do that. But Jesus did it. So we can do it. We can ask Jesus to bless us. So read it day by day. And do you know what God said to Jabez? God said yes. He said yes, and he answered his prayer. So, and then we have the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't know if you've seen, I know some of you have been in the house groups, but on Hebron Church YouTube, I'm guessing it's still there, we have a fantastic study by Jez on the Lord's Prayer. So if it's still there, listen to that. The disciples knew that they needed to pray. In Acts, 10 days, they had a prayer meeting for 10 days. And after the 10 days, 3,000 people became Christians, came to Jesus. So does prayer make a difference? In Luke chapter 18, verse 7, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Have you done this? Have you cried out to him day and night for something that's on your heart? Because I know I have. And God will answer prayer. Why does God not always answer, you might think to yourself, but he does. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. Sometimes God has a better plan. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, all things work together for good. So whatever happens, we've got to trust him as we pray to him. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's with us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, that has just meant so much to me. Because sometimes you try figure things out, you try and working things out, and you're like, no, can't do it, God. I give it to you, so you do. There's a film. Funny enough, this film is actually on the telly this afternoon, if anyone's bored. And it's called Bruce Almighty. And it's all about God. This guy that's God, I think it's Morgan Freeman. He lets this guy be God for a day. And all these prayers keep coming to him, prayer after prayer after prayer. And obviously, he cannot cope. And he says yes to everything. He just said yes. And it causes total chaos. I can't remember what happens, but I remember it causes chaos. So that's why God doesn't say yes all the time. He says yes, no, or wait. Are you desperate for God this morning? Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Right, revival. I'm going to explain. I'm sure you all know actually what revival means, but I just thought I'd explain it. So who's ever seen one of these? Anyone ever seen one of these? No, some people. Right, well, these were very, very, very popular when I was a young girl. In fact, it was that popular at the time. We had this pastor, right, and we had Sunday school, and the pastor would say, each week we'll break a record, and you can break it on my head. So what happened? Everybody invited everyone to Sunday school because the joy was we could smash this over Pastor's head. Maybe we should start that again, eh? But I'm not doing it with this one because it's not my record. Well, it is, but it's not. So what I'm saying is these were very popular when I was young. And then they died a death and people threw them away, I believe. I was told someone threw them away. Whereas now you can pay a fortune for them. They're really coming back. Maybe not this one. But if you've got like, who should we say, the Beatles or something like that, Elvis, you pay a fortune for them. So there's a revival with records, isn't there? And what we want is a revival in the church. So that's what I'm talking about now. So I'm on for slide 3, please. There you go. Yeah, so that was their verse. These two old ladies, right? I'm going to tell you about them now. Wait a minute. I don't want to get it wrong. So revival start with somebody going into the Holy of Holies. Revival start with somebody touching God. Revival starts being hungry for God. Now, in 1949, in the Hebridean Islands in Scotland, these two old ladies here were called Peggy and Christine Smith. And one was aged 84, so if anyone's that age now, and one was aged 82. So God still got use for you if you're in your 80s, everyone that's in their 80s. And these two ladies, they wasn't just praying. One of them was blind and one of them was full of arthritis. So they couldn't get to church. So they prayed. They just got that hunger for God and they prayed and prayed and prayed. And that was the verse that they got. For I will pour out water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And that guy there is called, lost him, Duncan Campbell. And he was one of the preachers that they saw that he needed to come and pray, come and start preaching. And other people came to preach and a revival became in Scotland. And that was a church revival. Slide number 4, please. Right, so this one, in 1904, there was a Welsh revival. And a guy called Evan Roberts, a guy called Joseph Jenkins, they just got hungry and hungry for God. They just kept praying and seeking him and praying out to God for people to come to know God. And this lady, she's called Florence Evans, and she was 19. And she became a Christian about a week before the revival started. And she was in a meeting and she was asked, what does Jesus mean to you? And she just got up and she said, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And as she said that, the Holy Spirit just moved upon all the people. And so that was lots of young people came to the Lord. So even if you're young, you can pray. You can seek God. You young people in here today, you can seek God and pray to him and get what Flory had. So the Holy Spirit moved. And I believe in America at the moment, there's a move of God in a place called Asbury. And it was in a university, and all these young people have started to get hungry and thirsty for God. And that's actually going on. Well, it was going on a month ago. I hope it's still going on. It's a move of God in America, in Asbury, and that is just this few months ago. So, praise God. So, we should pray about everything. We should pray about revival, shouldn't we? And I do really believe, I believe in praying about everything. I was reading my Bible this morning and I was reading about Joshua. And Joshua asked God to stop the sun and to stop the moon. And God did it. So Joshua prayed that amazing prayer and it happened so that he could win this battle. And yesterday, Gordon got this fantastic Spitfire. It's only this big. Not a real one, they're too expensive. So we got this, my husband Gordon. So it's this big. So we've never done it before. He's never done it before. So we went to this field thinking, oh, this is amazing. We're going to fly this plane. It's going to be awesome. And we did. And we flew it. Well, Gordon and Rachel flew it. And it went everywhere. And it really went really high. We didn't expect this. And we thought, we're safe on this field. It'd be fine. Anyway, it landed in a tree. But this tree wasn't any tree. It wasn't this big. It was, I'd say it was taller than the ceiling. So we did everything. We tried moving the things and we tried shaking the tree, but it was a bit too big for us. Rachel wanted to climb the tree, but she couldn't because there was nothing to climb up it. It was like a tree with no branches. So the three of us then in this field praying. We're praying about this plane. I'm like, you know, ain't God got more important things than this plane? Anyway, then we thought, no, let's leave it. So we left it and we went to the park because that was quite nearby and we had a brew. And I just kept thinking, oh, we just got to keep praying because it was expensive as well, this thing. So anyway, we walked back the same way, didn't we? And we looked in the trees and he weren't there. And while we were in this, while we was in the park, the wind had come, so God sent a wind. So it sent a wind, and there there was the plane on the floor, and we rescued the plane. Yay! So God does answer prayer. Well, he did anyway. I thought he did. So I think we should pray about everything. There's a song, in fact, I was listening to it yesterday, and I don't know if you remember a group called Delirious Membis. Lot, you probably won't know them, but they were fantastic, Delirious. And they did this song, I Want to Go Deeper. I'm not going to sing it to you because it might start raining. It was, I want to go deeper, it said. I want to go deeper in you. And I can't remember all the words, but what a fantastic song it was. Do you want to go deeper today? Slide 5, please. They're good, these, aren't they? Oh, there you go. Right, so this is our queen, which obviously she's with the Lord now. And this was at her coronation. And very, very soon, we're going to have a king and queen that's going to be crowned. And part of the ceremony with our queen, and I know it's going to happen with our king and queen, they're going to be anointed with oil. And she was anointed behind a veil. So we haven't got a picture of that. We searched the internet and we couldn't find one. But apparently she was anointed behind a veil. Nobody can see it. And I'm guessing and hoping they do the same with Charles and Camilla. So the oil that she was anointed with, it's olive oils that are grown in Jerusalem. And that's what they've got for the king that's going to happen soon. And the oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what you think of our new king and queen, pray for them, because they're going to be anointed with oil, which represents the Holy Spirit, and we need to pray. They really will get the Holy Spirit. So I found a scripture that says, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 4. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people and for kings and for all who are in high positions. So that's our government. I think they need prayer too. That we may lead a peaceful and a quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So the Bible tells us to pray for our king and our government, doesn't it? Now, in the New Testament, I've got an example of somebody who went into the Holy of Holies. And Caroline is please going to come and read it for me.
Excellent. Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Beginning at verse 5, and it's entitled The Birth of John the Baptist Foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a boy and delight to you, a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the people, parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make already a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true in the appointed time. Meanwhile, the people who were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple, when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak.
Thank you. Praise God. So, how awesome must that have been? So he went to speak with the Lord, and then the Lord gave him this vision of an angel. I mean, it was just awesome, wasn't it? And what he was told was awesome. And you know, if we go into the presence of the Lord, if we really get there, either here or at home, we get near to God and we get in the presence of the Lord, we can get words for ourselves, we can get words for our families, we can get words for the church or for somebody. God can give you that word. So at that time, obviously only the priest could go into the presence of the Lord. But that's what can happen if we go into the presence of the Lord. Now I'm going to ask for slide 6 now, please. That's the curtain in the temple, and we've got one here today. So in Mark chapter 15, verse 37, Jesus was on the cross, and it says, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And then in Mark 15, the next verse, the very next verse says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That's what your picture's showing you. Jesus made a way for us to come into the Holy of Holies when he died for us. So here we have the curtain. I know I'm not God, but I just wanted to do it. Imagine this. This Jesus Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. So I'll read that verse again. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. In the Message translation, it says, our lives are gradually becoming brighter, more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. So we, let's us go into this holy holies in here or at home, and let's get hungry for God and shine for Jesus when we're out and about everywhere. And remember the Jabez prayer. You will be blessed so that you can be a blessing. That's the point of the prayer. So shine for Jesus. Shine for him. If you don't know Jesus this morning, ask about him. Ask one of us about him. I was saying to one of the guys at the Breakfast Club this morning, I said on Friday, I said, I could never do life without Jesus. I said to him, becoming a Christian, you still have problems, but you can go to the problem solver. That's what I said to him. So let's come into the Holy of Holies now. We've got a song we're going to sing within the veil. And if you need prayer for anything, especially sickness, I'm going to ask Caroline to come out because she's got a gift of healing this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor to come out because he's going to anoint people for us. And we just want to believe in healings this morning. We just want to believe that God is going to move in this place and heal. And we just pray that, you know, just come into that place. So if you're feeling ill or you've got another prayer about anything, remember I said you can pray to Jesus about anything. So just come to the cross, come to the Holy of Holies as we sing this song, please. It's a very old song.